Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Actually, we'll start off up here in verse 13. It said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, every one of us has to come up with this answer. We have to ask ourselves, who is God? God will be what we need him to be. He can be God the healer, be God the provider, God the protector, God the deliverer, God the redeemer. What do we need? Right here, Peter got a revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's the anointed one. Now, Jesus went on and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, here's the thing. We're going to get a revelation of who God is by what we study. A lot of times when people need healing, they're going to find out he's God the healer. Sometimes when people need deliverance, they're going to find out that he's God the deliverer. When we need protection, we'll find out that he's God the protector. But Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So right there, they'd been following Jesus around. And Jesus took them on the first boat ride with him. He was with them. And they got out there, and the wind started getting them in trouble and started sinking. They had to go wake him up. Said, don't you even care that we're going to sink? Well, he told them, said, just go over to the other side. That means their destination is assured. Because he didn't say anything about going out into the lake and sinking. He said, just go to the other side. Now, right here, he had to give them a little more practice, but this time he constrained them to get on the boat. He pushed them onto the boat. And then he went up on the mountain and started praying. And then they got out there and they got in trouble. And then he came walking out there on that water. There were 12 disciples in that boat. They all heard that word. They all heard the same thing that Peter heard. Only thing is, Peter acted on it. And he jumped out of that boat and he started walking on water. You know, we don't know if he got up to his ankles or his ears when he started sinking. And it doesn't matter. He cried out to Jesus, "Save me." Jesus, our Savior, saved him. And they walked back to the boat. Isn't that cool? But Peter believed him, and he got out there and got in trouble. And then he cried out, said, "Jesus, save me." You know, that's a good prayer. That's a three-word prayer. Jesus, save me. You know, sometimes we just don't really know what we're supposed to pray or how we're supposed to pray. But we can say, "Jesus, save me." Amen. God described who he is, and this is his name. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Moses was asking him, said, "Well, when I get where you're sending me," well, we'll start in verse 13. Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." I am. You know, one of the things that we've been taught is when we find these promises of God about who we are and what we have, to make it personal. And when you say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us how we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One of the best ways to make that a part of your life is to say, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." Now you've got God mixed all the way in there. He did it. Now we make it personal and we impact it with the "I am." See, one day Jesus was getting harassed by the Pharisees, and he said, "I am." And they just went absolutely crazy. And they thought that was blasphemy, that he had considered himself to be God. He was. He is. We've God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when he said, "I am," they went absolutely crazy. Because they figured that he considered himself to be equal with God. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. So when you take that name, "I am," and you mix it in with your positive confessions out of the Bible, the promises that you've been given, and you start mixing "I am" in there, you're mixing the throne room of God. You're the very God himself with them promises. It can't get any more stronger than that. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." See how he described himself? "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He just told us who he was. See, most of the names for God are descriptive names. So when we find out we need something, we find one of those descriptive names. make him the Lord that healeth thee. Thank you, Father, you are the Lord that healeth me. I am healed. See, we make it really a lot harder than what it needs to be. You know, we don't have to have 5 chapters of the Bible memorized in order to get the promises of God to come true in our life. We don't even have to know the address. All we have to know is the Word. We have to know what He said. What would be wrong with running around saying, Lord, you are the Lord that healeth me. I am healed. There wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. And you won't be lying, even though you may feel like a stomped on rat. You're not lying. You're calling things that aren't as though they are. You're taking God's word and you're putting it in the atmosphere. You're going to cause your body to change from the inside out. Our confessions have a lot more to do with with what we receive than God's willingness. See, God, as far as He's concerned, He has given us all things with Christ. He's given us everything. It's our job to receive it. So we have to get our tongue in line with the Word of God and start agreeing with what God says. Amen. Let's find another one. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am, there's that I am again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Do you need light in your dark situation? You know, we all end up facing uncertainties. We all end up facing dark spots, you know, we just don't know the answer. We can't come up with the answer. We don't know how it's even possible. The best way to get that darkness and that uncertainty out is to throw Jesus in there. Put Jesus in the middle of your problem. He said He is the light. In fact, He said, I am the light. I found it interesting. I found this out by accident that there's really no darkness. Did you know that? There's really no darkness. There's just absence of light. See, you can turn, you can come into this building at night, come in here, and you can't see anything. It's just dark. The minute you turn that light on, that darkness is gone. It's gone. Or just absence of light. You know, there's a lot of times people have a lot of problems and they're searching for answers in all kinds of different ways, and the real answer is the light of God. See, when we put the light, shine the light on our problems, those problems have a way of dispelling, being gone. But we got to do it. We got to get that word in there. Psalm chapter 18. Verse 2. Says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And you go down to verse 16, it says, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. Sometimes we get into bad situations. You know, sometimes we weave when we wobble. We weave when we should have wobbled. You know, We make mistakes. I mean, sometimes we make little mistakes, sometimes we make big mistakes. But regardless, we're going to make mistakes. But what are we going to do? Are we going to go ahead and drown? Or are we going to call on God? See, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." See, if we weren't prone to making mistakes, we wouldn't really need a deliverer, now would we? And sometimes, you know, we may not even be doing anything wrong, but something bad may be happening around us and we need a deliverer. There's so many, you know, one of the most fascinating parts about 9/11 was the stories of people that just didn't show up for work. You know, they couldn't get their act together. Everything they did, they were running late and they just couldn't get there. A whole Bible study group just didn't go to Bible study. See, they had a deliverer right there. They didn't know that they had any reason to be delivered. They didn't know they had anything that they needed to be delivered from. But he saved them. He rescued them from that terrible, terrible event. They made him their rock, their shelter, their high tower, their deliverer. See, a lot of times, the shepherd sees danger that the sheep have no idea about. I know I've killed dogs before that the goats had no idea they were around. Our Lord and Savior Jesus is our good shepherd. And he's always watching out for us. You know, that psalm says that he has a staff and a rod. You know, if we weren't prone to making mistakes, he wouldn't need a staff to pull us out, now would he? And if we didn't have enemies running around out there, he wouldn't need a rod to protect us with. Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am." There's that describing who he is. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, sometimes people are just kind of wandering. You know, they're just existing, wondering if they have a purpose. Sometimes people just don't realize that they actually have a purpose in life. You know, they wonder why they're even here. They just kind of go through one monotonous day after the next. With nothing really to do. They really don't know what to do. And they just don't think that God has a plan for their life. But God wrote out his plan for our life right here in the Bible. One of the things he really wants us to do is start receiving some of the promises that he's given us. Once we start doing some of that stuff, we can realize that God has a plan for us to go out there and talk to other people and witness to other people. You see, I wasn't real hip on talking to a lot of new people. And then I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon I was able to start talking to new people and start witnessing to them, and they could get born again. I thought that was pretty cool. But I wasn't really looking for that. I didn't know that that was my purpose at the time. It just happened. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, where there is life, there's no death. See, the more Jesus we get in us, the more that death is going to go away. Our lives are wrapped up in Christ. And we're going to go to heaven. Praise God. But right down here on this earth, there's a whole lot of living to do. And we don't want to be participating in any parts of the curse. And see, Jesus wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And as he wants us to have his life flowing through him, through us, he wants it to be overflowing so that it can go to somebody else. You know, we have some to give to somebody else. He wants us to have a healthy life. He wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. We've heard that. Go to bed early to bed, early to rise, makes the body healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, you know, there is a little bit of something to be said for that. But if you put your trust and faith in God, he'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. Even if you have to work late once in a while or sleep in once in a while. John 10, verse 11. Says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Sometimes people are afraid of what lays ahead. You know, there's people that are just completely... I ran into one at the grocery store the other day. He just panic-stricken. Because Trump didn't release the Epstein files. And it's like, are you serious? And he's completely panic-stricken. I've run into several of them. So I'm never going to vote for another Republican again. I'm not going to vote for a Democrat. I'm not going to... It's like... that just ruined their whole week, their whole month. And some of them, they think it's the end, you know, the end is here. Because of what happened in Washington, D.C. You know, God has more to do with what happens in this world than Trump. He's not the end all, save all. He's not our Savior. God is. And God can make things work with or without Trump. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We don't need to be running around in fear about what's going on in the world. That is not for us. We're to put our trust in the Lord. Let him take care of us. You know, there's stuff in the world. Jesus said in this world there will be tribulation. See, that's just as much of a promise as my God will supply all your needs. People don't like to acknowledge that promise very much. But in this world, there will be tribulation. We're in this world. We're not of this world, we're in this world. We belong to a different kingdom, but we're in this world. And while we are in this world, we can expect to have challenges, problems, tribulation. That's just the way it is. But we can be in a good mood. We can be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. Whatever we're facing, Jesus has already conquered it. We just have to look at it through the eyes of faith and enforce that victory. Amen? So Revelations chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. See, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. He said, I am the beginning of the end. So if you're confused by the reports of man, know this, that the great I Am declares to you, fear not, for I am to you what you need me to be. Whatever challenge we may be facing, God is more than enough to handle that challenge. Do we need a healer? He is God the healer. Do we need a provider? He's God the provider. Do we need a protector? He's God the protector. Whatever it is we need, He is to us what we need Him to be. It's like Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And Jesus said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had a revelation of who Jesus was, and he spoke it forth. His Savior, the Anointed One. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us, and thank you that you are everything to us that we need all the time. You are our 100% total everything. Our deliverer, protector, savior, you are our Father. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.